Well, thank you to your pastor for his warm words of welcome again tonight. It's lovely to be here. It's great to share with him in this mission over these 2 weeks. Hard to believe we're almost halfway through the first week, and that's how quickly it goes. But it's great to be able to share the message of the gospel. Thanks to Olivia, too, for her ministry in song tonight. Now, turn with me as we read together again in John's gospel. Each of the nights we'll be preaching from John's Gospel, and tonight we're turning to John 3, and we're going to read from verse 1. John chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's listen to the Word of God. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. Let's just bow for a moment quietly and ask for God's help. We thank you, Father, again for the opportunity to read your word together. We thank you that this is the living word of God, and we thank you that now we can just settle our thoughts and our minds and leave aside everything that has occupied our time and our attention today. And our Father, as we are still in your presence, we ask that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God tonight and make it real, make it relevant to each one of us, and just help us to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith or not. Grant us your richest blessing, we pray, in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was the text that we were thinking about last evening. You remember that a number of folk had come down and they questioned John the Baptist and they asked him if he was indeed the Messiah. But John was not the Messiah, and he told them so, and he pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ alone can save men and women from their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the one that God had sent into the world, but also had authenticated by the various miracles that he had done. And John very simply pointed people away to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's right that we do that, because the Bible tells us that neither is there salvation in any other. Tonight I want to bring to your attention a man, a religious man, who needed God's salvation. Here we come to these verses that I have read to you tonight, and we read this story. It's a very familiar story about this man called Nicodemus. After calling some of the disciples to himself, we note that in John 2, Jesus attended a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and it's not in itself is of great interest to us, though we're not going to go off on a tangent tonight, but you will see a number of important things about that. You'll see his acceptance of marriage as a divine ordinance, and that's vitally important for the days in which we live. You will see his power and authority displayed in turning the water into wine, another miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ did that authenticated who the Lord Jesus Christ was. We then read that he went on to Capernaum. After spending time there, he went to Jerusalem for Passover, and we read of the cleansing of the temple. And while he was still ministering there at Jerusalem, we see that he receives a very special visitor. And of course, we're talking about this man, Nicodemus. We often refer to him as the man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. Now, we're not sure exactly why he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, and commentators disagree on that. It might be that he was afraid to be seen in public with this man, Jesus, who by now was beginning to catch the attention of the people. He was gaining popularity on a daily basis, and he was sowing confusion in the minds of the people as to who he actually was and why he had come. Or it might be that he was afraid of being criticized by other members of the Sanhedrin who thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was nothing less and nothing else but an imposter. But this man is deeply interesting. And I say that for a number of reasons. Sometimes whenever we come to the Word of God, we tend to dwell on sin, and it's right that we do. And sometimes we reveal to people in gospel preaching, men and women, whether they're individuals or perhaps multitudes gathered together, and we speak about them in terms of those who are deep-dyed sinners. Well, this man here before us tonight was a sinner, but he is from a very different background than many of those that we read of in the Word of God. And I want to remind you just of two things tonight, as time permits, about this man, Nicodemus. I want you to see, first of all, the interest that Nicodemus showed. In order to understand something regarding the background of that, to see something of this interest, we have to understand something of the character of this particular man, because, first of all, he was a man of good standing. We know that because of the words that are used in John 3 and in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, there's a wealth of information in that statement alone regarding this man, Nicodemus. It tells us so much about his character, because this man is not without significance. Because in his day, and because of his position, he was a very prominent man, he was a pillar of society, and he was recognized to be a very religious man. In fact, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, probably belonged to a group that we know as the Sanhedrin. And we know that those as a group were totally opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were totally opposed to everything that he claimed to be, and in their estimation, they were the ones who were the spiritual elite. They were the ones who held the truth. They were the people that people would come to in order to seek spiritual guidance. However, the Lord Jesus Christ would tell us that they were really the blind leading the blind. But this man Nicodemus was numbered amongst them, a ruler of the Jews. That was applicable only to a man of very high ecclesiastical rank. So you and I can say tonight that Nicodemus was a spiritual leader. He was a very religious man. And that was openly acknowledged by the Lord Jesus Christ, because in verse 10, he says to Nicodemus, "Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things?" I suppose what I'm trying to say to you tonight is this, that Nicodemus wasn't your usual churchgoer. This man was a very, very religious man. He's a man, part of a devout religious group, well qualified to speak on spiritual matters. In fact, I would suggest to you tonight that this man was as religious as they come. And yet, with all the religion that he had, he was still in spiritual darkness. You say to me, "But surely that's impossible." Are you trying to tell me tonight that a man, despite his religious background, despite the fact that he or she is a churchgoer, despite the fact that they read their Bible and they pray and they give themselves to all kinds of activities within their church, are you telling me tonight that it's even possible for someone like that not to be a Christian? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. It's possible to live a life that is filled with religious activity and be like this man, Nicodemus, steeped in religion, well qualified to debate and argue from Scripture, and yet still not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But at least this man had an interest in knowing the truth. This man had an interest in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ that he might reason out some of the issues that caused him deep concern, and in particular, who on earth is this man, Jesus of Nazareth? He was a man of good standing. He was a man searching for the truth. Verse 2, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, We know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." I'm convinced of this, that despite the fact that this man was still in spiritual darkness with all the religion that marked his life, I believe with all my heart that this man had looked at Christ, perhaps listened to Christ, but he knew that there was something different about him. There was something about this man, Jesus of Nazareth, that Nicodemus could see that others could not see, even within the group who called themselves the Pharisees. Did he see the Lord Jesus Christ perform miracles? Was he in attendance, perhaps sitting amongst the crowd when the Lord Jesus Christ began to sound forth the truth of God's word? Or was he just simply a man who was an idle bystander, who was in some way captivated by this man who stood out with authority that the Pharisees didn't have, with an appeal for the people that they could never have? There's something different about this man. And Nicodemus wants to know what? And he wants to know who he is. Because if he is who he claims to be, and this man's religion is not enough, then he needs to know how he can be right with God, and the only one who could tell him that was the very man that he came to, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this man, despite his religion, was missing the one thing that he desperately needed. He didn't have spiritual life. He didn't have peace with God. He had no peace within himself. He had no understanding of the truth. And perhaps it has dawned on him that his religion was never going to be enough. So he comes and he seeks out Jesus. I don't know why you've come tonight to this meeting. I don't know why, perhaps you may be sitting at home listening to this service over the internet. But I hope you're doing it because you've got an interest in your soul. I hope you're doing it because you understand tonight that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, even though you may not know him personally, even though you may not be aware of all the things that the Bible teaches us about him, that you know there's something about this man, and there's something about his message, and there's something about his ministry, and there's something tonight that you know's missing deep down in your heart. And you're here because you're looking for the truth. You're here because there's something missing in your life. You know that there's just something not right. Something that neither religion or the world or pleasure or power or prosperity or any of these things can give. If you've come tonight and that's how you feel, I want to tell you that you'll find the answer in Jesus. And you'll find all that you need, both in time and in eternity, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The interest that Nicodemus showed, the information that Jesus stressed, and this is what I want you to consider tonight. You see, as Nicodemus continues in conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see that Jesus began to teach him about things that this spiritual leader, this religious man, just did not know. And they were important matters, because they were eternal matters. And if this man was deeply interested in his soul, and he was deeply interested in knowing Christ and having peace within, then he needed to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. I'll make this very simple. But as you and I listen to their conversation and you see how that the Lord Jesus Christ approached this religious man, you'll note first of all that he stressed the need of the new birth. John 3:2-3, Nicodemus said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man, a woman, a young person, except they're born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And it's very interesting to me personally that this, the new birth, is the first subject of the Savior's teaching in the Gospel of John. That tells me something of the importance of it. I remember one night going to visit in hospital. I went to visit a man because I knew him well. And when I went through the door, he was quite upset, and he was very uptight, and he was talking to himself. Don't you worry about that, I do that quite often. But when I came in through the door into the ward, I could hear him saying to himself, this old born again, this old born again. And I went in and I sat down, I said, is everything all right? He said my minister was in and told me that I needed to be born again. I don't know what he's talking about. Well, I said, he's only telling you the truth. He's only telling you the truth. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if this man, Nicodemus, was deeply interested in who Jesus was and the salvation that he had come to purchase through his death on the cross, then this man needed to go way beyond his own religion, and he needed to understand what this new birth was all about. He needed to be born again. Or in other words, he needed to be born from above. You see, no man can live Godward until he has been born of the Holy Spirit. No man can please God in his sin. He needs to be made alive spiritually. He needs his sin cleansed. He needs his sins forgiven. And he needs to be reconciled again to God. And for Nicodemus, with all his religion, this man was receiving a wake-up call. This was a simple and timely reminder that all the religion in the world cannot ever save a man's soul. For Nicodemus to be sure of heaven, he needed Christ. For Nicodemus to find an answer to his spiritual problem, he needed salvation. For Nicodemus to get all that he needed, he had to go way beyond his own religion. You might say to me tonight, well, are you telling me that I need to be born again? What I'm telling you tonight is what the Lord Jesus Christ says. And Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is it really that important? Well, I remember many years ago as a young Christian listening to someone preaching on the new birth, and he said this: if you're not born again, there'll be a time come when you'll wish you hadn't been born at all. That's how important the new birth is. You might say to me, well, could you tell me why tonight I, as an individual, need to be born again? Well, let me, in the time that remains, give you a few reasons and then explain it. First of all, you and I need to be born again because the depravity of man demands it. No matter how you and I look at us, ourselves individually, the Bible simply declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible paints a picture for us of how in God's sight we're sinners, we have no fellowship with him as we are, we're separated because of our sin. Our nature is a fallen nature, it's a corrupt nature. Sin will always take us further away from God than we ever intend to go, because that's the nature of the heart that we have within. We're born in sin, we're shaped in iniquity. And the truth for each one of us is this, that because of our sins, we need those sins forgiven. Because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, we need those hearts changed. Because we are spiritually dead, we need to be born from above. Something needs to happen in us, and something needs to happen with us, so that we might be made right with God and fit for heaven. Maybe as you and I think about ourselves, we don't see that. Sometimes we're very quick to see the worst in others and the best in ourselves. But the Word of God tells us plainly that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin comes between us and a thrice holy God, and there's a gap that has been caused by sin, and the only way that that gap can be removed and fellowship can be restored is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came to the cross. That's why he laid down his life for us. The Bible says he's the only mediator between God and men. So he came and he died for us, and he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He not only bore our sin in his own body, he not only paid our debt in full and bore our punishment, he satisfied the demands of God. And if you and I are going to ever be reconciled to God, you and I need our hearts cleansed. We need our lives changed. We need to be born again. The depravity of man demands it. demands it. Here's the second thing. The longing in our soul desires it. Every man, woman, or young person tonight has a deep longing in their soul, whereby they seek after real joy and lasting satisfaction. Now, no matter how hard they try in the world in which we live, they never find it. They never find it. You ask men and women and young people who have involved themselves in the pleasure of the world, and they keep returning back to those pleasures, no matter the high that they attain, because they're never fully satisfied. That's why you look around you at our world today and look at our society. It's ruined. It's ravaged by sin. There are so many people who are looking for something different. They're looking for something better, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. Yet the hymn writer tells us simply and clearly, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Where? Lord Jesus, found in thee. Many of us have learned from sad experience, getting to the end of a bottle doesn't take away pain. Involving ourselves in all pleasure, it doesn't bring the lasting joy and peace and satisfaction that we long for. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Whether you're a young person or an older person, if tonight you're rejecting Christ and you're bypassing the cross and you won't listen to the preacher and you've no time for God's word and you're out there in the world and you're seeking to find in the world something that will satisfy you, I'm telling you now, from sad experience, it will only satisfy for a season. You'll never find all that you're looking for and all that your soul needs until you come to Christ. The depravity of man demands it. The longing in our soul desires it. Thirdly, the Lord Jesus Christ commands it. He says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, I was brought up in a home which was a good religious home in many ways, but nobody in the home was saved. And then one day out of the blue, God spoke to my older brother. He came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and his whole life was transformed, and everybody could see it, and everybody knew it. The people he worked with, the people he lived with, the men he used to run around with. And people used to say to me, would you not like to be like your brother? Would you not like this salvation? Do you not want to be born again? I honestly believe that being born again was for a certain breed of Christians, depending on what church they attended. But Jesus Christ takes this right out of that environment, and he turns around and he says this, you must be born again. This is for you personally. This is for me personally. This is for any one of us and for every one of us who sit tonight in this meeting. It's not an optional extra. It's not something that's negotiable. It's not an experience that's limited to a few. This is an experience that needs to be experienced by us all. The Lord Jesus Christ emphasized to Nicodemus the necessity of the new birth. Nicodemus, listen. You must be born again. You must be born from above. You need to be changed from the inside out. You need to become a new creature. What the Lord Jesus Christ demanded of Nicodemus So too he demands of all of us. But here's another reason. Not just that the depravity of man demands it, or the longing in our soul desires it, or the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ commands it, but our eternal destination depends on it. Depends on it. Why do I say that? Well, listen to what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, every time you come across those two words together, verily, verily, there's an emphasis that is being put on something that is being said that is vitally important. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, listen, Nicodemus, you want to know who I am, and you're looking for something that you don't have. I'm telling you, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. And if you don't understand the importance of why, I'm telling you now, if you don't experience the new birth, then heaven you shall never see. Don't we often say that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people? Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. But he stressed also the nature of the new birth, and with this I'll close. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Good question, isn't it? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now here's a man with all his religion, with all his spiritual experience, and he's confused about the new birth. He just didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, because he assumed this was all about physical birth, whenever Jesus was talking in terms of a spiritual rebirth. That's what you and I need tonight. We need to be changed from within. Religion will never be enough. Before we can be acceptable to God, something has to happen. We have to be cleansed, and we have to be renewed by the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus says if you take a look at verses 5 to 8. You see, Jesus is not talking about you and I who are sinners experiencing reformation. He's not talking here about cleaning up our lives or trying to do the best we can or reading the Bible more often or praying for a longer period. Jesus Christ is talking here about a spiritual rebirth, and that's an act. Whenever the sinner passes from death unto life, when they pass from the darkness of their sin into the light and into the liberty of the gospel. It's a work that only God can do, and it's called in the Bible regeneration. But you say to me, what if I try to clean up my life? It'll never be enough. It might make you, it might make me more respectable, but it doesn't deal with the sin problem in our lives. What we need to do is to experience the new birth. We need to come as Nicodemus did, interested in the welfare of our souls, interested in knowing the truth, willing to meet with Christ on his terms instead of ours. And not trying to earn the right to make our way home to heaven, but simply taking a sinner's place in desperate need of God's salvation and saying tonight, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Friend, tonight I don't know why you're here, but if you're interested in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're interested in something better than the world is giving you, and if you realize that no matter how hard you try and no matter how religious you are, that you need something better, well, you can have it tonight in Christ. Your life can be transformed. You can be born again of the Spirit of God. Your heart can be cleansed, your life transformed, and you can be made fit for heaven and home. Nicodemus was a religious man. There were many who possibly thought that here was a man who had everything that he needed, but he knew he hadn't. And he came to Christ. And Christ made it very simple and reminded him of some great eternal issues. You say to me, but whatever happened to that man? Well, the Bible tells us about that man. John 7, he defends the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of opposition. John 19, he comes with Joseph of Arimathea to ask for the body of Christ after Christ had been crucified. Something changed that man. Something happened in his experience. Was it more religion? Did he become a better person? No, he became a changed man because he was born again of the Spirit of God. And if you forget everything I've said tonight, or you don't understand, you want to talk to me, or you want to talk to Pastor Moffat, you feel free to do that. But remember, Jesus says, you must be born again. Let's pray for a moment.